Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops of Divine Guidance Ministries. Our mission in this ministry is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ, where failed leadership with poor character and judgment have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe, as Scripture states in Matthew 6:33, that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Today, I welcome you to our program. I'm Archbishop Bernadine Turner, your host, welcoming you, our listeners and supporters, thanking you for joining us again on today. Well, it's the Christmas season, and I'm so happy, and I rejoice during these times, because it's not about what goes on out there in the world, but it's about the fact that our Redeemer was born during this period of time. And because our Redeemer was born, died, and rose again, that now gives me the right to the tree of life. And so I praise God for this time, because if it were not for God's plan with He, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus to set it up and fix it so that no matter what the enemy did to us, that we will be able to move past that and to return back to our Father, which art in heaven. And I'm so eternally grateful at this time. So if I lose it, I beg your forgiveness at this time, because this is such a dear, this is not about gifts, this is not about all of the finalities. The devil has stolen what God planted with us coming together and worshiping God, and the exchange of gifts were for a purpose and a reason, and at some other time I would have to go into all of that. But this is a special time, and a special anointing comes upon us all at this time if we can receive it. So today the Lord has given me a sermon that I have prepared, and we haven't really fully comprehended what the shepherds actually heard that wondrous night. What would make grown men in search of a thing run to see this thing? And so I'm going to give you what the Holy Ghost gave to me, and so that you can understand clearer what God actually did for us through Christ Jesus. Now, the normal scripture that is probably read most places would be Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And I'm going to read that for you quickly, and then I'm going to get into what he's given me. And I want you to hear it from the Amplified Bible, because it interjects a few things that the King James does not. It clarifies. And so in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky. Shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill of his favor." I'm going to read that one more time. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. They were saying that this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these things, all these sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. All right? So, there's some key points there, but I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. We've heard this Christmas story told by ministers and parents and family members and Sunday school teachers as far as we can remember. It's passed on from one generation to another. Year after year, we visualize those shepherds on that grassy hill under the stars as they shielded their eyes from the brightness of the angel that appeared to them. We can also see them bending over the rugged wooden manger, peeking and peering curiously into the face of the newborn Savior. As adults, we've watched in amazement and in amusement our children and grandchildren shuffle down the aisles of church dressed in bath robes with dish towels draped gracefully over their heads, portraying shepherds in their Christmas pageants. Even though we've heard the story, we've never fully comprehended what the shepherds actually saw and heard that night. Now, as you know, the shepherds were men. They were real men. They weren't having a prayer meeting in the field that night either. Back then, religion was for just a select group, the elite, if you will. And these were your working class fellows, I'd say. They were tending their sheep and taking care of the business of a living. They weren't your spiritual leaders, granted. But as they watched the sheep, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and delivered a message that was so extraordinary, so thrilling, that these guys left their sheep and ran to see this thing. The Amplified says that they went in haste, excited, it says. They searched for Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. I want to know what makes grown men run in search of a thing. It takes news of such importance, of such magnitude, that nothing comes close in comparison. It was news that would change their lives. It was news of a very personal nature. That's what those shepherds heard and saw that night. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. Unto you, it said. The angel did not say unto Mary and Joseph, a child is born. But the angel said unto you. No, his message to the shepherds was very startling. Unto you. That is specific. That's personal. That means that it may not be to anybody else. But unto you, if you can receive it. It let them know that the Savior born in Bethlehem that night belonged to them just as much as he belonged to his earthly parents. In other words, God had given them the Christ. This was a personal thing, I need you to understand today. That's why those shepherds ran. That's why they ran with haste, because this was a special thing that was done unto them. Now, I need you to know this morning that the shepherds knew that the word Christos means the anointed one and his anointing. They also knew that to be anointed is to have something poured on, rubbed into, and smeared all over you. They knew that one day a Messiah was coming because they had heard it from their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents, and this thing had been passed down for many years, who would have the power of God poured on, rubbed into, and smeared all over him. They knew that he would bring them God's anointing and fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck." And his yoke from off thy neck. So if the Savior came in Isaiah, it says that it shall come to pass in that day, that's what we're celebrating now, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of what? Because of the anointing. That's what they knew that was happening. They knew, because remember, they knew Old Testament. It was New Testament that was the issue. Old Testament, they knew. To the shepherds, the anointing was the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And they had heard all their lives about what the anointing had done through people like Elisha and Elijah, Samuel and David and Solomon, and they also knew the anointing was very real and very powerful, something that we still have issue with today. We deny the power thereof. That's why we can continue in the things that we do that are not of God, because we are still yet denying. We still have not gotten the email that when Christ was born, the anointing was back in town. You're not getting it. That when Christ was born, all of the yokes from off thy shoulders and the burdens off their shoulders and the yokes off thy neck would be destroyed because of that anointing. And so if you can get to the anointing, you're not going to have these problems with your with these burdens on your shoulder and these yokes on your neck, because the anointing is going to destroy them. I need you to hear me this morning. I need you to understand what the Savior came to do. If you don't get it any other time, this is the time to understand what he was born for. So I'll go on to say this. So the shepherds, the anointing was that burden removing and the power of God that destroyed all of the things that were binding you. And they had heard all their lives about this anointing that had gone through these different stages. But you see, the power of God on man, or the anointing, had not been on the earth in a long time. As time had gone on, fewer and fewer people remembered the power of the Old Testament saints. For this reason, only some few people were earnestly, get me now, hear me, there were just a few people that were earnestly expecting and anxiously awaiting the Messiah to come and remove their burdens and destroy their yokes. I repeat, I say again, there was only a few people expecting this. Is that not as it is today? So that should tell you something. If they were doing that now, and it's the same way today, and Jesus was born right under their noses. Come on now, I need you to get this. Watch this. then what makes you think that you can keep going on in your mess and doing the things that you continue to do, okay, denying the power, not understanding, not trying to get to the power and the anointing to break the things that are going on in your life? If you're not careful, you're going to miss his return. Just like there were people that did not understand, there were so few, they weren't even expecting Christ anymore. Okay? So just like that happened then, watch it, because when he comes, it's going to be the same identical way. There's going to be so few people expecting his return then, when he does return for his people, that many, many are going to miss out. Oh, hallelujah. Many are going to miss out. See, that's what this ministry is about. Many are going to miss out. And I got to warn you, don't get caught up in your foolishness. Don't get caught up in your uncomfort zones. Okay, don't get caught up and whatever God is taking you to, because maybe he's taking you to a place so that you can learn something. Don't stay in your stupidness. Don't stay in your ways. Don't stay in the things that you have always done, because this is how we do it. Guess what? When God moves you out of situation, he takes you out of your comfort zone for a reason. He brings you into a new place so that there will be an anointing that comes upon you to do what is needed to do to keep you safe so that you can enter in when that time comes. I need you to know that if you don't start searching and seeking this anointing and the power that comes from God, you're going to miss out, my brothers and sisters. I need you to know that. I've got to move on. They were anxiously awaiting the Messiah to come and remove their burdens and destroy their yokes. The anointing only came on prophets. Hear me now. The anointing only came on prophets, okay, priests, okay, and kings. Do you hear me? Those three people, those three groups. See, when Jesus came, he came to change that so his anointing can be on all people. We can all receive it. But you have to receive it, my brothers and sisters, and you're going to have to seek it out. Just like those shepherds sought out Mary, Joseph, and the baby, just because they believed what the angel said. Now, tell me this. Do you really have to have an angel to come to tell you the same thing the shepherds did when it's all over the Word of God? Do you really need that in this day and time when the printed Word, when all that happened is right before your face and you're too sorry and you're too lazy to pick it up and read it for yourself and to study it, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God? Let's go on. Ordinary folks were backed out. They were locked out. Backed out and locked out of God's presence. The shepherds were ordinary people. I need you to understand why they ran. They knew that they had always been without the anointing and had assumed that they would continue to be without it. Ephesians 2 and 12 says that they had no hope. Do you hear me? They had no hope, and they were without God in the world. They were trapped in sin, sickness, and failure, without no chance of getting free, trapped without hope, without the anointing, and without the absence of the anointing in the earth for centuries, there was also an absence of joy. Now, do you get why there's no joy anymore? Do you get it? Do you need me to say it again? I repeat it. Ephesians 2:12 says that they had no hope. Listen to me. Hear me now. When you have no hope, listen. And they were without God in the world. They were trapped in sin, okay? See, you can be in this world and you can say you're Christian, but if you're trapped in sin, trapped in sickness, trapped in failure, with no chance of getting free, see, if you don't receive that anointing, that anointing is what destroys the yokes. Don't you get it? It's that anointing that destroys the burdens. It's the anointing that sets you free from sin. It's the anointing that sets you free from sickness and failure. If you have failure, it's because there's no anointing on your life. You need to get to it. You need to understand. You've got to run to get the anointing, baby. What did the woman with the issue of blood? She was determined to get hers. We know these stories. But I don't see anybody running to touch the hem of his garment to get that anointing. And you do that through the word of God, because God is not, Jesus is not passing on this earth now. He's with his Father. But he sends what? The Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will lead you into all understanding and truth. The Holy Ghost will lead you into the scriptures. And if you pray and do the things that God tells you in his word to do, you will get that anointing. It is not locked out anymore for you. Do you understand me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? You should, loud and clear. And with the absence of the anointing in the earth for centuries, there was also an absence of joy. If you don't have any joy, it's because there's no anointing. Suddenly, in an instant, a twinkling of an eye, that changed forever. The darkness was shattered by the blazing glory and presence of Almighty God, and his angel stood before them. It was the good news that they brought. Because of this child, a way has been made for the ordinary to become extraordinary. Do you hear me? Because of this child, because of Christ, who we're celebrating at this time, a way has been made for the ordinary person to become extraordinary. I believe in all of my heart that the angel announced to them that the anointed one and his anointing had been born, not only to them, but to all people, ordinary and extraordinary alike. I believe in my soul that the angel announced that he had come to do good and to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. I believe that the angel told them, as in Luke 4:18, that he would be anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, and that he would tell them that they don't have to be poor anymore. He'd be anointed to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. I believe in my heart what the angels were really saying to those shepherds, and that was the presence of God is back on the earth. In other words, the anointing is back in town. That's what the shepherds were so excited that night about. That's why they ran. Every debt was about to be canceled. Every slave was about to be set free. And everything lost was about to be restored. Oh, can you hear me? When they caught sight of what God had given them, a celebration broke out. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God on the highest. The angels shouted, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What they were saying was, at last, goodwill toward men from heaven. God and man were at last being reconciled. We were being reunited after almost 2,000 years of separation. In closing, I can only tell you that I believe in my heart that at that moment the angels were shouting. Now, this is my belief. Supernatural ability is now here. Abundance has manifested itself. Advantage is on the scene. Atonement has just been born. Authority is here at last. The benefactor is now here. The bread of life has now arrived. The bridegroom has just been born. The burden-removing yoke destroyer has just arrived. The comforter has finally come. The counselor has just showed up. Our deliverer has come at last. Our elect has just showed up. The enlightened one has made his appearance. Eternal life has just stepped in. The exalted one has now come. The faithful one is here at last. The fearless one is now here. The friend has just arrived. The ultimate giver has now come. Glory has just arrived. Godliness is back on the scene. The good news is here again. Grace has just showed up. The great one has just been born. Our guide has begun the tour. Healing has just arrived. Hedge of protection has manifested itself. Help has just showed up. Heritage is back in town. The Holy One has just been born. Hope is standing tall. Intercession has now begun. Instruction is stepping up. Jehovah has just arrived. Jesus has just been born. Joy is back in town. Judge of all men has just entered in. The keeper is in the house. The King of Kings has just showed up. Life is here again. Light has entered in. The Lord has been presented. Love is here again. The Master has just been born. The angel also told them that mercy is in the house. Do you hear me? Mercy is now in the house. The mediator has come once more. A minister has been born to us. I can hear the angels proclaim that opportunity has just stepped in. Power has just begun. Pardon has just now arrived. Peace has just showed up. Perfection now has come. The physician is back in town. Power has entered the earth. I can also hear him say that the ultimate priest has been born. The long-awaited prince is now here. The promise has manifested itself. The prophecy is now complete. I can hear him say that the prophet of all times has entered in. Our provider has just showed up. The purpose has just been born. The ransom has just been delivered. I need you to know that the ransom has just been delivered. The Redeemer has just arrived. Our refuge is lying in a manger. Our resurrection has now been born and is alive. The rewarder has just come. The rock is here. He's here. I can hear them say, your sacrifice has just been born. Your Savior has entered the earth. Seed of Abraham has manifested itself now. Your shield is now in place. God's Son has just arrived. God's Spirit is in the house. The strength is standing tall. The sword is back in town. The truth is now confessed. Unity has come at last. Victory has just showed up. The Word is in the earth. Do you hear me? The Word is in the earth. Our shepherds have come. The shepherd has come. Jesus was our shepherd, and he's come. The ultimate shepherd has been born. In essence, the angels were saying, good news. God has provided the lamb. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And now go seek him. Search him out. And to God's people, tell him his anointing is back on the earth. So go tell God's people that everything God is, everything that he has, is now yours because the anointing is now yours. Through Jesus, the Anointed One, and his anointing, we are now brought back to God. So celebrate the Anointed One and the fact that his anointing has been born inside of you and you and you and you, each of you who has accepted Christ inside of us. And that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power is available to you right now. through Jesus Christ. Won't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Won't you accept the Lord God, the Redeemer of all the earth? Won't you accept him in your life to do exceedingly abundantly all that you could possibly ask or think of? Won't you let Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God lead you into all understanding and truth? Won't you receive him this day to be your Savior, to walk with him, to talk with him, to let him teach you his ways? Because his ways are far above our ways. If we walk with him and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us into everything, we won't be so concerned about grace. We won't be so concerned about forgiveness. We won't be concerned about all those things that we hang on to keep us in line with being connected to God. Because once we truly, truly, trust me now, once you really receive Christ in your heart, you won't want to do anything that goes against him, because it will hurt you to your heart. Because the Word of God says that when you sin against people, you're really not sinning against that person. You're really sinning against God. That's Word. So if you can find it in your heart to really get to know Christ, to really get to know that all these things that we do in our flesh, we do them because we were hoodwinked. Because when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that separated us from God. So Christ came so that we would return to our Father. I need you to know that he's available right now. He's available for you and for me and for everyone out there. But we have to receive him, and we really have to want to change. We have to see us as we are, and it's okay to see us as we are. Do you understand? It's only when we see us in our filth that we really realize that we really, really need him to clean us up. You know, Christ talked about that cup, that people are so busy washing the outside of it and forgetting it to be presentable to people. And then I tell you all the time about that representative that meets different people in the world as we move and have our being, and we show the people our representative. We don't really show them who we are. It's only the prophets and those who God, and the seers who God gives insight to be able to see who you really are and move past that. That was a hard thing for me, to see it and still move past it. But God has given me, as I continue to stay on bowed knee to him and ask him to let me not judge what I see, let me move past what I see and pray so that God can do a work. And even if you can't receive it from me, receive it. God can send ministering spirits across your path so that he can have someone else to tell you sweetly and innocently if I'm too harsh. But I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, God has done a mighty work in me, and I can only tell you of him. I can't make you receive him. I can't make you be a part of him. I can only tell you what he's done, and share with you what he's done for me, and share with you what I know he's done for others. So I say to you today, on this I celebrated Christmas week, that you go to God, confess your sins, ask him to show you the things that you're not confessing, those secret places in your heart that you refuse to allow anyone to touch, because if someone sees them, you get upset, and that you cry, because that's your filth. We have to be delivered from that, because as I said in the message that God gave me, that Christ came to deliver us from all of that. You don't have to confess it to me, but you do need to to confess it to the Holy Spirit, to Christ, and to God, so that he can do, they can do a mighty work in you, so that when on that great day when Christ returns and we rise with him, that when we're changed from mortal to immortality, that you will be one of those that will be changed in Christ. See, we're going to be changed regardless of our condition, but you don't want to be changed to immortality and not be in Christ, because that means that you have given your soul over to the devil. So I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, that God loves you, and he wants you with him and with us. I'm going to be there, and I'll be more than happy to see you there with me, in Jesus' name. So it's been another day. It's been another time with you. We're going into the new year. We're going to be talking soon about some new year things, about some changes that we need to make within ourselves as God gives me utterance. And I thank God for you joining me on today. Those of you on Facebook, my brothers and sisters on Facebook that follow me, I appreciate you so. You know who you are. And you send me, you support me in your little notes and the different things that you do. I appreciate you. I want you to know it's very encouraging to know that the things that I say, that somebody really gets them and understands. So I want you to know that that God is so good and he's so merciful. And I want to thank you again for joining me this year, for your support this year. Thank you so very much, my supporters and my listeners. I appreciate you so much. And then I'm looking forward to a new year with you on next year. So until I see you, until God gives me something else to say to you, God be with you until we meet again in Jesus' holy and magnificent name. Amen, amen, and thank God.